말씀은 고린도전서 15장 12절부터 19절까지 오늘은 샘 전사님과 함께 한국말로 영어로 같이 또 따로 말씀을 나누겠습니다. 5장 12절부터 19절까지 저랑 함께 교독하시겠습니다. 제가 12절 먼저 읽겠습니다. 그리스도께서 죽은 자 가운데 다시 살아나셨다 전파되거늘 너희 중에 어떤 사람들은 어찌하여 죽은 자 가운데 부활이 없다 하느냐? 그리스도께서 만일 다시 살아나지 못하셨으면 우리가 전하는 것도 헛것이요 또 저희 믿음도 헛것이며 만일 죽은 자가 다시 살아나는 일이 없으면 그리스도로 다시 살아나는 일이 없을 터이요. 또한 그리스도 안에서 잠자는 자도 망하였으리니 만일 그리스도 안에서 우리가 바라는 것이 다만 이 세상의 삶뿐이면 모든 사람들 가운데 우리가 더욱 불쌍한 자이리라. 아멘.
So our message comes from 1 Corinthians, and we'll take turns reading it, so if you could. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain.
We are ever found to be missing. Whom he died, he raised.
For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised.
And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins.
Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished.
If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are only all people must be pitied.
Amen. Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to everyone here. Now, often as a minister of God's Word, I find it sometimes challenging on days like this and Christmas because it challenges myself to take the same message, and package it in a new way. But that's when God stops me. His word, his spoken word to us is always new. It's refreshing and life-giving, life-changing, is it not? There's nothing that I could add to this that would make it more amazing. And so what I want to ask to you right now is what kind of expectations did you have when you walked through those doors of this service, of maybe what's after? I was talking with little Sean, and maybe if you're like him and I, we're excited about the food that we're going to have. And so maybe that's our expectation that we come into service. But, you know, one other question that I want to ask is, you know, we know we've been learning that God acts upon our expectations. Whatever faith, whatever trust, whatever belief that we have of God, he exceeds those expectations. So I want to challenge you. We serve a mighty God who will exceed those expectations, so increase our own expectations of the God that we are about to meet, hear about. Again, ask yourselves, what does Easter mean to you all? Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is it real to you, just as we've been reading about? What importance does the resurrection of Jesus have for you? Now, in this text that we're going to read, that we have read, God is preaching to those who do not believe in the resurrection of the dead. When we speak of resurrection, we are both referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ after he was crucified, and also the resurrection of the body that we experience after our lives here on earth. These two things are tied together. Because he lived and died, we also live. And we'll rise again when we put our trust and our faith in God. Verse 12 that we just read notes something important. It says that some of you didn't believe in the resurrection. And specifically, he's talking about people like the Pharisees. The Sadducees, the other group. They were the religious sect that refused to believe in the resurrection. They refused to believe angels and anything outside the first five books of the Bible. The Sadducees were a great political power in Jesus' days. They made up most of the Sanhedrin, which was the governing Jewish body made up of elders. They were the ones behind crucifying Jesus. They were the ones also to convince Pilate after his death to station guards by the tomb for 3 days, just so that they could prove that Jesus was just a man who lived a life. Sure, he did some miracles for God, but just like every other prophet before him, he died, just like everyone else. So these guards, we know the story, right? These guards stayed up for 3 days. They were in shifts so that someone could constantly keep watch over this tomb. Then, on a day much like this, the soldiers who can't wait to go home, they're at their wits' end. And that's when an angel of God suddenly appears and rolls away this gigantic stone. The guards see the angel and they're terrified because their worst nightmares had just come true. They had one job, right? And the body of Jesus is now gone. Soon after this, we also see Mary, mother of Jesus, and also Mary Magdalene show up to the tomb. They also see this angel of God, and the angel tells them to go and share with the disciples that Jesus has been resurrected. Jesus, their Lord, who died, was now alive. So Mary and Mary run, they sprint. They sprint to go tell the good news to the disciples. The Bible says that they are both excited and also extremely terrified. Just like the guards were terrified when they saw the angels. Why were the two Marys terrified of sharing this good news that their Lord and Savior now lives, that he promised? What he had promised had now come true. Well, during this time, women had very little rights. They had no place in the public courts. They could not testify against anyone else. As harsh as this may seem, the culture of this time said that the words of women could not be trusted. But God said, I'm going to use women to announce the greatest news, the greatest truth that this world had ever heard, that Jesus, my son, lives. Now, if God wanted to hide this truth, he would have used a man, maybe a Jewish man of high reputation. Maybe if it was us writing this story, we would have gone with a member of the Sanhedrin. Man, think about what a testimony that would have been. But by using these two women, God was saying that there's nothing I'm trying to hide. He's not trying to make up a story, but just tell the truth. Now contrast this with the Sadducees. After the guards reported back to them that the body of Jesus had gone missing, that an angel had come, the Sadducees bribed them. They told them to say that the disciples had come in the middle of the night to steal the body of Jesus, just so that they could say that their master was resurrected. Surprisingly, now this is the lie that Israel believes today. God is asking us today, even if it defies your logic, your wisdom, and your knowledge, are you still going to believe? Do you believe in the story of the resurrection?
정말 부활을 믿으십니까? 아멘이세요? 정말 부활을 믿는다면 우리가 지금 보는 이 세상보다 더 큰 세상이 있다는 것을 믿고 사는 것입니다. 우리가 지금 소유하고 있는 생명 있잖아요. 지금 숨쉬고 있는 이 생명보다 더 큰 생명이 우리에게 주어질 것을 아는 것입니다. 죽어서가 아니라 정말 이 땅에서 영원한 것들을 바라보며 사는 것이 바로 부활을 믿는 것입니다. 부활은 입으로 믿지 않습니다. 삶으로 믿는 것을 보여주는 것입니다. 삶으로 부활을 믿고 산다는 것이 보여지는 거예요. 제자들이 그랬습니다. 예수를 믿었던 초대교회 성도들도 마찬가지였어요. 그들이 어떻게 했습니까? 다 예수님을 버리고 도망갔습니다. 너무너무 무서웠어요. 그 전까지는 눈에 보이는 세상이 다 전부라고 생각했습니다. 그렇기 때문에 예수님의 죽음을 보고 그들은 terrify 할 수밖에 없었어요. 너무나 무섭고 어찌할 바를 몰라서 예수님을 모르던 그 상태 그대로 갈릴리로 고향으로 돌아가 버리고 맙니다. 자기들도 이 지금 지니고 있는 생명이 어떻게 될까봐 끝장날까봐 어떤 불이익이 있을까봐 다 도망가 버리고 문을 걸어 잠그고 숨어 버렸습니다. 그런데 그들이 갑자기 뛰쳐나왔습니다. 그리고 예수 그리스도는 부활하셨다라고 외쳤습니다. 유대인들과 로마인들이 그들을 침묵시키기 위해서 죽이고 때리고 부활하셨다라는 얘기만 안 하면 살려주겠다. 아무리 설득해도 그들은 설득당하지 않았습니다. 예수님의 부활을 선포하며 죽어갔습니다. 왜일까요? 그들이 정말 예수님의 부활을 보았기 때문입니다. 부활은 입으로 말해지는 것이 아니라 삶으로 선포되어지는 것입니다. 여러분 정말 부활을 믿으십니까? 그렇다면 우리는 부활을 믿는 삶으로 살아나야 합니다. 참 생명이 있음을 이 세상의 전부가 아니라 정말 주님이 우리를 영원한 나라에서 기다리고 계심을 나를 맞아주심을 기억하고 그 나라를 위해서 사는 사람이 됩니다. 영원한 것을 위하여 목숨을 버리는 사람이 되는 거예요. 그 짧은 시간에 예수님께서 AD 30년에 돌아가셨다 하면 바울 서신이 AD 50년경에 나왔거든요. 그 20년 동안 예수님의 부활은 외쳐지고 또 외쳐졌습니다. 아마 없어질 법도 한데 입 다물 법도 한데 그들은 예수님의 부활을 위해서 목숨을 다 내놓았습니다. 오늘 여러분 어떠십니까? 정말 부활을 믿는다면 우리의 삶도 마땅히 그래야 합니다. 오늘 말씀을 대하면서 오늘 말씀에서 어떤 사람들은 부활을 믿지 않는다라고 하는 말씀 속에서 나는 오늘 부활의 신앙으로 살아갔는가 돌아보시기를 축복합니다. 정말 영원한 것을 위하여 이 생명이 전부가 아니라 이거 내가 지금 가지고 있는 거 잃을까봐 전전긍긍하는 것이 아니라 주님이 주시는 주님이 주실 주님이 지금 주시고 있는 영원한 생명으로 오늘을 사시는 주인님을 부인하지 않는 저와 여러분 되기를 축복합니다.
The question again is, do we believe in the resurrection? We keep asking ourselves this. It seems like such a simple question at first, and to a simple question, it's so easy for us to say, yes, of course I believe. Of course I believe in Jesus that He resurrected. But has it become real for you? God amazingly goes above and beyond in showing throughout history that Jesus is indeed resurrected, that he indeed is his son. Not just once, but on the third day, Jesus was raised from the dead and he met with his disciples, the 11. But 1 Corinthians also tells us that he was seen by more than 500 of his disciples, people that would believe, before he would ascend into the presence of God the Father. But did he stop meeting with people after that, after he ascended? No. Jesus met with Stephen as the martyr was getting stoned to death for preaching his gospel in the book of Acts. Jesus met John, his loving disciple, to give him the revelation, the book of Revelation. Jesus met also the sinner Saul on his way to persecute the early church. And Jesus met me when I was at my rock bottom, when I was still an enemy of God in my sin. These all happened after the ascension, after Jesus rose to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. So Easter, the celebration of the resurrection, is also proof that our God is the God of the living and that he's still in the business of meeting with us today, personally, closer than any friend, any comfort that we can find in this world. So if Jesus is this good, if Jesus is this amazing, what stops us from meeting our personal Lord, Savior, friend, and counselor? Just like the lie, though, that the guards had told all of Israel, there are many lies that we end up telling ourselves. Lies that we are not good enough, that we are not doing enough, that there must be some sin in our lives that keeps us from seeing, keeps us from meeting God. Lies that tell us that we are not worthy of having these kind of moments, these kind of holy moments with God. Lies that say that we must be some level of Christian to meet Him. Sure, we may try for a little bit, but when disappointment starts to set in, we start looking for reasons, and these reasons or lies are what we end up believing. But what does the Bible say to this? That His love is mightier. That the blood of Jesus was offered to God one time, one sacrifice, for all of time. This scripture is found in Hebrew 10. So if you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to turn there as we kind of just dwell here for just a minute. Because right here is an important key to having an encounter, a life-changing encounter with God. So it's chapter 10. Hebrew chapter 10, verses 11 through 14. I'm going to read it here for us. But it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again. Of course, this is talking about the Old Testament. Verse 12, but our high priest, Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sin, good for all time. Verse 14, for by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. Now I want to highlight this word, good for all time. This is talking about the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the life that he laid down 3 days ago. In another translation, this good for all time also reads as perpetuity. It's a great and fun word to say, but it implies that this sacrifice has a continuous action. The blood of Jesus continues to wash us. The blood of Jesus continues to wash. It never stops, just as your heart doesn't stop just because you forgot to tell it to beat. Ever since the day that his blood was spilt, it has never stopped proclaiming one thing and one thing only, that these people that I have died for, they are righteous, they are good in front of God the Father as long as they believe. And that last verse is amazing, isn't it? He has made perfect those who are being made holy. Who loves literature in the youth? Anybody? Literature, it says that tense is really important, right? So let's look at that, perfect and holy. I used to think that these things are the same, perfect and holy. If I made mistakes, I wasn't perfect, I wasn't holy, right? But the tense is really important here. It says that we have been perfected, past tense, meaning that we can stand boldly before God in his throne room today, right now, in this moment. So why do we make mistakes? It says that we are being made holy. We are perfect, but we are being made holy in this process. This means that it's okay. Whatever you're going through, you don't have to be ashamed to approach God with your mess. So often we're scared of this because we know what happened in the Old Testament if a priest had sin in his life and entered the presence of God. He died. They had to drag him out of the temple. But this is a new covenant, a covenant under a much powerful power, the power of Jesus' blood. The blood has made us perfect. It's done. But God is involved right now in the process of making us holy. But when did we start to devalue the power of the blood of Jesus? Is our shame so great that it puts us in a state of fear, a state of insecurity before the loving Father? His blood, the power of his blood, is not canceled out because of our sin, but it's the opposite. Our sin is canceled out because of His sacrifice, His blood, our sins, present, past, and future. His blood continues to wash. Amen?
Amen.
Is there anything mightier than the power of Jesus' blood? Is this power real in your lives? Are you walking it out? Are you entering the throne room of God just as Jesus did? Because we have that power. We have that authority. We have that right as children of God. After, if this power becomes real for you, then what comes after that blood must also be real, His resurrection. In the second chapter of Colossians, it reads, "For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with Him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead." The resurrection proves that He is alive, that He's here in us, amongst us. So trust God. He's a big, big God. His hands are mighty and capable of handling whatever you're going through. Have faith in Him.
부활을 얘기하면 정말 많은 사람들이 믿지 못한다고 얘기합니다. 부활절이면 믿는 것 같은데, 부활하신 것 같은데 또 생각해 보면 그런 일이 없는 것 같고, 사람이 죽었다 다시 살아나는 것 그 누구도 경험할 수 없는 일이기에 그렇다라는 생각이 들어요. 그러나 눈을 크게 뜨면 부활의 증거들을 우리는 참 많이 발견할 수 있습니다. 제가 또 나누고 싶은데요, 부활을 정말 강렬하게 경험했을 때가 있었습니다. 아, 부활은 실제구나, 정말이구나, 예수님이 부활하셨구나, 나도 때가 되면 이 땅의 생명이 끝이 아니라 부활의 삶을 살겠구나. 우리 아이를 낳을 때였습니다. 아이를 낳고 아버지가 이렇게 아빠가 탯줄을 끊어야 되거든요. 저는 그렇게 세상 살면서 손을 그렇게 떨어본 적이 없어요. 무서워서. 그걸 끊으라고 하는데 아플까 봐, 아니면 이걸 어떻게 끊을까 봐, 그래서 한 번에 못 끊어가지고 조금 매스한 경험이 있었습니다. 그런데 그 뒤에 생각해 봤어요. 아이에게 뱃속은 완전한 세상이 아닙니까? 완전한 삶입니다. 아이에게, 뱃속에 있는 아이에게 너 무엇이 필요하니? 라고 물어보면 나 아무것도 필요 없다고 할 거예요. 그 아이는 완전한 세상에서 완벽하게 프로바이드 받으면서 살아가고 있습니다. 그 아이는 그 세상이 전부이고 그 안에 생명이 있고 그 안에 삶이 있어요. 그런데 때가 되면 배 밖으로 나와야 합니다. 생명줄인 탯줄을 끊어야 해요. 아이가 소리칠 수 있다면 탯줄 끊는 아버지에게 막 소리칠 거야, 하지 말라고, 나 그럼 죽는다고, 그거 끊으면 내 인생은 끝이라고, 내 생명은 끝이라고. 우리 정말 탯줄이 끊기면 아이는 죽습니다. 어디의 삶이 죽죠? 뱃속의 삶이 죽어요. 다시 들어갈 수 없습니다. 그러나 우리는 알고 있잖아요. 뱃속의 삶이 죽으면서 어떠한 삶이 펼쳐지는지 우리는 알고 있지 않습니까? 뱃속과 비교해서 이 세상에서 누리는 삶은 비교할 수 없는 삶입니다. 엄마 아빠의 소리를 어렴풋이 듣고 정말 멈불거리며 들었던, 빛을 봐도 희미하게 보았던 것이 아빠 엄마 얼굴이 보이고 아빠 엄마 목소리를 듣고 하드푸드를 먹고 맛있는 음식을 먹고, 세상은 뱃속 세상과는 비교할 수 없는 세계이며 기쁨이 있고 만남이 있고 행복이 있습니다. 저는 그걸 보면서 우리의 인생도 마침내 부활의 생명으로 살겠구나 확신하게 되었습니다. 우린 잘 몰라요. 우리가 여기서 목숨이 끊어지는 순간 우리도 그렇게 아우성 칠 수 있을지 모릅니다. 나 죽는다고, 나 이제 다 끝났다고. 그러나 이 세계의 세상이 끝나면 뱃속 세상과 이 세상이 비교할 수 없듯이 정말 하나님이 우리에게 놀랍게 준비하신, 우리는 아직 보지 못해서 아무리 상상해도 그 세상이 얼마나 크고 얼마나 귀하고 얼마나 기쁜 세상인지 알 수 없지만, 그 부활의 세상과 그 부활의 세상에서 생명으로 살게 될 것을 믿습니다. 눈을 크게 뜨고 보세요. 겨우내 죽었던 것 같은 나무들이 싹을 돋웁니다. 이 세상은, 이 우주는, 정말 다 죽어 있는 것 같은 이 우주에서 이 지구에 살아있는 생명은 눈을 크게 뜨면 언제든 우리는 부활의 증거를 볼 수 있습니다. 그러니 여러분, 부활은 실제이며 우리 삶에 반드시 부활의 삶으로 살아야 한다는 걸 잊지 않기를 축복합니다. 정말 부활로 인해서 우리의 모든 삶이 뒤바뀌는 우리 모두가 되기를 간절히 소망합니다.
Such an amazing testimony, and Pastor Yeom had a moment, of course, when the resurrection became real for him, and it was the time when our very own Yeru Yeom was born, you know. And so, just to briefly summarize that for those who didn't understand, because it is really important, I think, is that we all have a life before that we met Jesus, you know. Much like a baby being born, their life was life in the womb. To the baby, that's perfect. Nobody wants to leave that, you know, but there is a better life than that, right? Than living in a womb. All the joys and as well as, of course, the sadness that we may experience in this world is much better than being in the womb. So when we die, when he cut that umbilical cord, you know, and left that life into a new life, that's the picture of resurrection. It's hard, though, to make that jump. Often, we as Christians struggle because we tell each other who are struggling just to have faith in God, right? Have faith, trust. He's a mighty God. He'll take care of it, right? This simple truth, though, is often what we struggle with the most, though. We struggle, I believe, because we have an unclear picture of what strong faith means. Romans 4:16 says, So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have a faith like Abraham. It always surprises me, God's wisdom. Is he not saying here that our faith has everything to do with who God is and what he's done, not whether or not we can follow every one of his written commandments? Is that not the message of grace, the message of Jesus Christ and of Easter? The resurrection, though, proves that there is a life after death. But it also proves that Jesus is alive today. Much like the Sadducees, we might be telling ourselves lies, because it can be hard meeting Jesus. We're so easily discouraged and disappointed. We comfort ourselves by saying, maybe God only meets with his chosen people, predetermined, pre-selected, predestined. We say, oh, I'm blessed because I believe even though I don't see Jesus. And so I was reminded of a talk that I had recently with a close friend of mine who's in a long-distance relationship. We started talking about what it means to really know God. And I asked him a question. Are you okay with never seeing your girlfriend? Forever spending the rest of your relationship, even to the point of marriage, long distance? Is anybody here okay with that? Because this is what I really struggle with, because it's particularly hard being apart from the one that you love. And so I ask this same question to myself and to everyone here in this room. Are we okay with never having an encounter with the Jesus, the one that you say you love so much? And even if we have met him once, twice, or even 100 times, aren't you looking forward to the next encounter, the next meeting that you will have with him, the next time you see his shining, his radiant face? Never will we be, though, worthy enough for God to grace us with his presence. We see Stephen in his moment of true sacrifice, of laying down his life to preach the gospel. Many times we think that we need to be as holy as Stephen was to experience an encounter with God, to hear God say the words, I'm proud of you, son, daughter. But let me remind you that God shows himself to the righteous and undeserving alike. The answer is to believe, to have faith in His righteousness, in His blood, the power of His blood, and the fact of His resurrection. Not in what we can do, not even in what efforts we make to get closer to God, but put your trust in Him, abide in Jesus, be with Jesus, meditate on all that He is, all that He's done, and proved through His life, the cross that He died on, and the proof of the empty grave. When we meet Him, our faith becomes real, it becomes tangible. So meet Him. His arms are always wide open.
모든 관계에서 가장 중요한 것은 honesty예요. 정직함입니다. 우리 부활에 대해서 얘기하고 말씀을 나눴지만 항상 부활절 설교를 했지만 오늘도 여러분과 함께 나누고 싶은 말씀은 부활은 말로 증명되는 것이 아니라 삶으로 살아가는 것이다 입니다. 아마 다른 사람이 이야기하지 않아도 내가 부활을 정말로 믿고 있는 사람인지 그렇지 않은지 여러분 자신은 알고 있을 것입니다. 그런데 괜찮아요. 오늘이 기회입니다. 하나님 앞에 honesty로 나가면 됩니다. 우리가 가장 하지 말아야 될 것은 내가 부활을 믿는 사람인 것처럼, 내가 부활을 알고 내가 예수님을 아는 사람인 것처럼 살아가는 겁니다. 아무 의미 없어요. 우리의 인생은 언제든 주님께서 부르면 그분께 가셔야 합니다. 그때 가장 후회할 것이 내가 주님 앞에서 정직하지 못했구나 하는 것이기 때문에 우리가 주님 앞에서 우리의 모습을 cover-up 하는 것이 가장 심각한 죄입니다. 오늘 주님께서 우리에게 모두 다 말씀하고 계십니다. 너는 정말 삶으로 부활을 믿는 사람인지. 성경에는 모든 사람들, 초대교회들, 오늘 사도 바울이 얘기한 것처럼 부활이 없으면 믿음도 헛되고 모든 사람들 가운데 우리가 불쌍한 자라고 선언합니다. 그 말은 반대예요. 우리가 부활을 알고 부활을 살기 때문에 우리는 가장 행복한 사람입니다 라는 고백입니다. 여러분 삶 가운데 정말 부활을 선포하는 삶이 되시기를 축복합니다. 정말 부활의 주님을 정말로 만나서, 아니 내가 정말 부활의 삶을 살지 않고 있다면 하나님 부활하신 주님 날 좀 만나달라고 주님 앞에서 정직함으로 나아가서 하나님 나라에 눈뜨고 하나님 나라를 위하여 사는 기쁨을 맛보고 내 존재가 하나, 영원하신 하나님과 연결되어 있다는 사실로 인하여 안심하고 하나님께서 나를 사랑하신다는 그 사실로 용기를 갖고 두려움 없이 살아가시는 저와 여러분이 되기를 간절히 축복합니다. 내일을 알면 두렵지 않아요. 결말을 알면 무섭지 않습니다. 내일을 모르기 때문에, 여전히 결말이 무엇인지 확신하지 않기 때문에 무섭고 두려운 것입니다. 부활은 내일과 결말을 우리에게 알려줍니다. 정말로 부활을 믿고 전혀 다른 가치와 전혀 다른 삶으로 전혀 다른 세상을 살아가시는, 부활의 증인으로 살아가시는 저와 여러분 되기를 간절히 축복합니다. 기도하시겠습니다.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Father, we come before you just as we are, with honesty in our hearts, Lord.